The Government Accountability Office refines the concept of reasonable determination in government contracting. A recent bid protest decision adds new complexity to this term and will impact the growing trend of mergers and acquisitions in the federal contractor community. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller writes about GAO's decision in this week's edition of Inside the Reporter's Notebook, and he joins me now with more to discuss about this. Jason, good to have you on.
Thank you, Tom.
So let's start with a little background about this case and how it affects mergers and acquisitions.
Well, this is another case involving the USIS company. Now, we know USIS, which got into a lot of hot water over security clearance dumping, quote unquote, with the Office of Personnel Management. Well, this is similar, but not the same. So USIS had bid on a contract with several companies to support Homeland Security Department's Citizenship and Immigration Services field offices and actually 10 asylum offices throughout the United States. Now, this contract was initially awarded to USIS, what they call their Professional Services Division, back in July 2014, and a bid protest was filed by FCI Federal almost immediately. And then what happened basically is, you know, this was a big deal, Tom. This is about a $209 million contract, and, you know, supporting these 78 offices across the country. So this is not a small job. And basically what FCI Federal said was the contracting officer did not reasonably look at the entire picture to decide whether or not USIS, Professional Services Division, was indeed not only qualified to do the work, but really did they have the right standing, if you will. Were they a up and, you know, a type of company that you should be doing business with? And that's where GAO came in.
And so what did GAO decide here?
Well, GAO decided a couple things. Number one, they felt that the CIS did not, first of all, they sustained the protest. Let's start there. That's the most important thing. Second thing, they said that the contracting officer, what they said was, failed to obtain and consider that the specific allegations of fraud alleged by Justice Department against the awardee's parent. Now, awardee's parent in this case is USIS, the Professional Services Division, again, is the company that bid. And they instead relied on what they called general media reports. So they felt like they read the reports that were in the press, and the things were good to go, instead of really talking to the Justice Department more seriously, more deeply about what was going on. They also found, GAO also found, that the contracting officer failed to consider the close relationship between the awardee, in this case the Professional Services Division, and the parent company, in this case USIS, with respect to the what they said to the approach of the contract performance, and the contracting officer believed the two were separate, and also misunderstood the legal standards related to what they call affirmative responsibility determinations. Now, what is that term, responsibility determinations? I think that's the key here. It's this concept that, are you a responsible party? Can you do the work? Are you someone the government should be doing business with? And every time the government makes a decision around contracting, they make one of those responsibility determinations. Usually with most companies, it's yes, because they have a past performance, they know the company well. But there are times, and I think this is a good example of one, and that's why I highlighted it in the notebook, that responsibility determination plays a bigger role. And that's one of the key findings from GAO.
Yeah, it's interesting because it brings in reputation, which is a hard thing to kind of quantify. And as you say, published reports about travails that USIS was happening. And so that seems to put contracting officers on kind of a slippery slope. And contractors that get into trouble on one contract, but maybe not another, also in some more danger of not getting further business.
Right. And I think the other piece of this is with the mergers and acquisitions that we're seeing within the federal community. I mean, I would tell you one of the strongest trends I've seen over the last year is, you know, bigger companies buying bigger companies and smaller companies being bought by bigger companies. And, you know, if you, whether it's TASC getting bought by Engility or this recent merger of SRA and CSC Government Services to even a lot of small companies just being bought up, I think that plays a role because what basically GAO is saying is if a company is sold from one parent to another or one company takes over, you know, during a merger or an acquisition, the contracting officer should almost reassess the proposal and whether this new company is capable of meeting the solicitation's requirements and then document it as part of its review of the bids. I talked to Bill Shook, who's a procurement attorney, didn't represent FCI Federal or USIS, and he says this is one of the few times that GAO actually deals directly with, again, the key phrase, Tom, determinations of responsibility. And Bill tells me that the facts are very unusual. A parent company's in trouble, spins off to another one, and it's relied upon for a significant portion of the contract. And he's saying that when new companies, you know, generally the contractor being bought or sold remains responsible for performance, or the seller is still capable of performing as needed. But because they're not under a fraud investigation. But when they are under a fraud investigation, and with the False Claims Act, Tom, this is a kind of an aside, but so many companies are facing these False Claims Act charges that could potentially play a role in the responsibility determinations too. So there's all these pieces that are coming into play, and basically Bill Shook says this is something that you know, I think vendors and agencies really need to keep an eye on.
I would say that, do we know, first of all, whether USIS is going to appeal that protest sustainment to a district court, to the Court of Appeals?
We don't know yet, no.
Because it seems to me that they're on a very gray area here with this determination of responsibility, because it's a reputational, it's what happened with here and there, but not really necessarily on the facts of the company, as you point out. So I'm wondering if this would actually stand up in court, in the appeals court, what the GAO has decided. I'm just speculating, I think it's 50-50.
I think it's a great question. I mean, that's why there are 3,000 procurement attorneys in the federal market that can help decide all that. You know, it's interesting. I did get a comment from Claude Goddard from the Palzanelli law firm who represented FCI Federal. And basically, Goddard talked about that, you know, the agency failed to follow the rules. It tried to do a shortcut by using a responsibility determination to justify an award. You know, it's very interesting. You know, he says that the agency, obviously he believes they're on solid ground, but he believes the agency ignored important developments, including the sale of a business entity after the offer was submitted. So I think there are definitely pieces here that are interesting and could be obviously held up in court, according to Goddard, who's representing the plaintiff in this case.
All right. Well, interesting case. Again, Jason is writing about this on his Inside the Reporter's Notebook, linked right now at federalnewsradio.com. And briefly, I wanted to ask you about one other thing you write about, and that is GSA is looking to possibly toss out that rule that says Schedule 70 IT contractors don't have to have 2 years of experience commercially before they come on to the GSA schedule. And so where does that rule stand now, and what are they looking for?
GSA just issued a request for information back to industry saying, what do you think of this? What if we change this? Give us your thoughts. They made the same set of questions to agencies as well. And this is a big deal. Now, GSA has been slowly modernizing the schedule contracts, bits and pieces here, bits and pieces there. But this, I think, what I called is the white whale of the schedule contracts, because Schedule 70 costs, you know, brings in about $14 billion in revenue each year. That's out of a total of $32 billion in total agency spending. So not quite half, but very close to it. So it's a huge, huge change for Schedule 70. And really what the goal of the RFI is in the end is how can GSA get what they'll call cutting-edge, leading-edge vendors, non-traditional vendors, on the GSA schedule more quickly and more easily, so their agency customers have access to those companies. This is very similar, Tom, what we're seeing across the board. AT&F is trying to do it, the Department of Health and Human Services Buyers Club. They're also trying to attract these companies, the Air Force, Defense Department as well. You know, DOD just opened up an office in Silicon Valley as well.
Well, that makes me question, what about the determination of responsibility for tech companies that were started 15 minutes ago? I wonder if we'll see a question like that come up.
Well, I think that, you know, part of this RFI is there are specific questions you have to answer and you have to prove. So if you were just started in the, you know, Tom Temin garage, I don't think that would count. I don't think you could be able to answer the specific questions if you don't have 2 years of corporate experience. But if you do have some experience, 6 months, a year of experience, 15 months of experience where you've successfully completed, you know, several different projects, you can use that as your kind of evidence that you are qualified to do work for the government.
All right, Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. As always, thanks for that update.
My pleasure, Tom.